Vasudevaya. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. Yesterday I forgot to read a quotation from Srila Prabhupada explaining the name Adhokshacha. He explained it many times, but this is one I just came across, which is quite thoroughly explains the word Adhokshacha according to the definition that Srila Prabhupada always gave to it, in this word. Quoting from Srila Prabhupada, this is from a lecture. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, but he is adhokshajam, beyond our sense perception. So that's the meaning that Srila Prabhupada consistently gave to this name. Beyond our sense perception. Adhokshaja. Adha kritam akshajam jnanam. Our knowledge is limited within this sense perception. That's all. Mm. We can see so long the light is there. If the light is not there, then our seeing power is finished. Therefore, it is limited. And Krishna is beyond this limitation. Therefore, his name is Adhokshajam. Adhakritang Akshajam Indriya Gyanam Yena. Akshajam, jnanam, means knowledge acquired by sense perception. Akshaja. Aksha means eyes, and ja means generated. So I see this book, because my eyes are seeing it is a book. But as soon as the light is off, I cannot see where is the book and where is the table, where you are. Similarly, we cannot see at the present moment by the imperfect senses what is Krishna. Therefore, it is Krishna's kindness that he has appeared before you in a manner by which you can see him. This is Krishna's mercy. Not that the atheistic philosophy, they are worshipping the deity, some stone, some metal, not like that. He is Adhokshaja. Prasadaleshanugrihita evahi. One who has received a little minute quantity of the favor of Krishna, he can understand Krishna. And others, if they go on speculating for millions of years, they will not be able to. This is a fact. Therefore, he is called Adhokshaja. So, going on to the next name in the sequence, it is Ritu, or Rutu, depending on which part of India you're from, how it's pronounced. Here it is. This is a well-known word. I don't know in Tamil, as usual, but otherwise in other Indian languages. This means season. Season in the sense of the times of the year. In Europe, where I was born in this lifetime, there are four seasons. Summer, spring, autumn, winter. Actually, beginning with spring. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. And in India, there are six seasons. Added to that is, these six seasons is Hemanta, which I saw the translation as the dewy season, whatever that means. And there's also Varshakal, the season of rain. But actually in South India, there are two Varshakals, two rainy seasons. And maybe over much more of India than it used to be. Gradually the rain is decreasing as a result of people's sinful activities in Kali Yuga. But anyway, there are six seasons in Vedic estimation. The meaning for this name that Baladev Vidyabhushan gives, again, it's a very beautiful meaning, but I don't understand how it's derived from the Sanskrit, because no explanation is given of that. But he states it to mean that Krishna, who is endowed with all wonderful transcendental qualities, enters the hearts of his pure devotees, who are full of love for him. So that's very beautiful. Premandana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. How the devotees see Krishna within their heart, because their eyes are smeared with the salve of pure love for Krishna. And thus they see that form of Krishna whose qualities are inconceivable. So although Krishna is, Krishna, Shyamasundara, blackish and very beautiful. So that form of Krishna, he is adhokshaja. He cannot be seen with ordinary eyes, but he can be seen with the eyes of love within the heart of the pure devotees. And that also fits with this understanding of the word ritu, who is endowed with all wonderful transcendental qualities, enters the hearts of his pure devotees who are full of love for him. So this parallels that Premandana Churita verse, which is very well known among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, as he often quoted it. Of course, Krishna is within everyone's heart, but he reveals himself within the heart of the devotee. So ritu means season. That can also mean the correct time for doing something. So Krishna is he's the lord of all the seasons. He governs the seasons. And he's the principle behind them all. All of the seasons have their own particular flavor. Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the very form of all nectarian rasas. Rasa, non-translatable. tastes, mellows. Krishna, he has these different seasons. These different seasons are for his enjoyment. In this material world, the seasons, they mark time. There are different markers of time. There is the rising and the setting of the sun marks time. One day is new day has come. And then we see the moon also, the phases of the moon. Now the moon is dying or becoming very weak. And then gradually there'll be the new moon, and then the moon will become full again, and like this, the phases of the moon. And then the seasons, they also mark time. So time in this material world is that which destroys, that we'll discuss very soon in the name Kala, just two names after this. But Kala, is marked by the different seasons. There are different phases for Krishna's enjoyment. Krishna enjoys the different flavors of the season. Just like the present season, here we can experience as being very pleasant. It's a little cool at night, and at this time of day it's pleasant to be in the sun. Already a little unpleasant for the ladies, it seems. They're sitting in the shade. For me, I feel it to be quite pleasant. Then afterward it'll be a little warm in the day, but overall it's not scorching hot or shiveringly cold. It's a very pleasant season. But then all the seasons have their flavor. In the terrible heat of summer, Krishna enjoys languid pastimes, resting in the... Languid means lazy or slow-moving. In the forest, in the deep forest groves. I don't know if you have experience, but it can be very hot outside, and then you go deep in the forest and there's so much shade that it becomes very cool. Do you have experience of that? I remember once in Bangladesh going on a boat through to some remote place, and then by boat, and then the river was quite narrow and was surrounded on all, it was all forest. We were going through a forest, and although it was very hot outside, it was very pleasant and cool going, and it was quite an amazing scene going through the forest in a river, and it's very cool. So that's and Krishna is also served with cooling drinks, certain drink there, and then the devotees enjoy fanning Krishna. Krishna will be lying down, and the devotees will be massaging his feet, and then at night when the coolness comes, and then the appreciation of the moon and the moonlight, Krishna enjoys the moonlight. In a very cold season, one could enjoy eating heartily, very rich foods, and dressing in very opulent, plenty of clothes. You can see at Nathdwara all these, of course many temples, but Nathdwara is very famous. You won't get the other very famous temple, Vishnu temple in India, is Tirupati, but you don't get so much, or Tirumalai, you don't get so much variation of the seasons as in Rajasthan, where it's fiercely hot in the summer. You can, of course, you don't cook chapatis here, but there you can, you could cook chapatis on the street. So I think so. I think you actually could do. I don't know if anyone does that, but practically you could. It's hot enough, especially if you cook the slow cooking ones. And then, so Krishna is dressed. If you go to take darshan of him in that season, especially in the morning, you can see his eyes, and that's all, because everything else is covered completely with thick clothes, and there'll be all warm drinks for him. And in the summer, he's almost completely naked because no food is needed. No food is needed, but no covering is needed. And then in the winter, they'll give oils like musk, which is very warm, and in the summer, like kura, which is very, and chandan, they'll smear. It's very cool. And then in the summer, they'll, there's also this full bungalow. That's also in Vrindavan. They make nice arrangements, all decorated with flowers for Krishna to come to, and they'll swing Radha and Krishna in the house of flowers. And then there's also the shower, rose water shower. They'll squirt Krishna with this Jalayantra, it's called in Sanskrit. There's another name for that. What's that called? Sanskrit word, pichala, something like that? Pichkali. Yeah. Maybe that's a Hindi word. So they can do that also. And so, and devotees, there's a separate room in Nathdwara, a big hall, maybe 4 or 5 times the size of this terrace here. And it all becomes completely wet, and the devotees are also spraying each other. So it's after the heat. Coming there, very nice, and Krishna's there enjoying. So all the seasons have their enjoyment. In the rainy season, Krishna goes in the caves of Govardhan and plays, and outside there's the rain is pouring, and they're inside and they're completely sheltered, and sometimes they go outside and get completely wet, and with all the cowherd boys, and they enjoy that. And then there's very nice when the rains come after the heat, there's relief from the rain. And all the grass is growing. The cows are very happy. In the heat also, Krishna and his devotees, they especially enjoy taking shelter of the Yamuna. You have that experience also. I remember, again, in my youth in Bangladesh, In the hot season, we spend a lot of time in the river, even at night. The river or the pond, at the night you can't sleep, so you just go and fool around in the pond for some time. And then when it gets a little cool outside, because the air is still hot, even after the sun has gone down. You know very well, in Vellore, it must be one of the hottest places in India, I think. If it's the hottest place in Tamil Nadu, it's got to be one of the hottest places in India. What's the hottest place in all of India? Who knows? Anyone? Govardhan. It's the hottest place in... It's the hot, according to the Guinness Book of Records, which is supposed to be... So I heard, or maybe it's the Limca Book of Records, I know. But it's the hottest inhabited place on earth. Why is that? Well, anyway, it's hot all around that whole area, Rajasthan. Govardhan is on Rajasthan border. Part of it is in Rajasthan, and then the rest is in UP. So Rajasthan, anyway, is ferociously hot. And but that whole big stone of Govardhan, transcendental stone, but it radiates, refracts the heat of the sun. So you get double sunlight. So already single is hot enough, but you get double, and then that heat is also absorbed, and at night it keeps on coming out, so you don't, it's... Dibanishihiyajale, day and night, burning. So it's extremely hot. But inside the caves, it's cool. Do you have that? Have you ever experienced that? You can go in the hot summer inside a cave, very nice and cool. And in the cold winter, you go inside the cave and it's nice and warm. And by Krishna's arrangement, for people who like to rise early in the morning, in the winter, the well water is very warm. And then in the summer, in the heat of the day, the well water, especially, is very deep. It's nice and cool. Very nice. Whew. Whereas if you go in the pond, if it's a shallow pond, the water will also be hot. If it's a big river like Ganga, it should always be cold, especially if it's fast flowing. So you can go in the Ganga in the hottest time of year, and she'll be very cool. A slow-flowing river can get hot also, especially at the edge. So in this way, Krishna, actually his yoga maya potency, she arranges all these different seasons for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna is the principle of all these seasons. Now, this is derived from the word to go, to move, the cycle of time. They're always moving. So, that fits with the next two names also, Sudarshan and Kala, time, how it fits with Sudarshan. The next, because Sudarshan chakra is always moving round and round, so the seasons always move round and round. And there's also the Kala chakra, always moving round and round. So Krishna's always moving. He's Vrikshastabda Iva, he's still like a tree, and he's also always moving, both things. It may seem contradictory, but even in material science, they're finding things that seem contradictory. It's very difficult to define anything at the more than microscopic level, but subatomic level, because is it a particle or is it a wave? The scientists can't work out. At the smallest level, is something a particle or is it a wave? Well, it's both. It depends on which way you look at it. So Krishna, he's still, completely still, and always moving also. Another thing is, just as the seasons are always changing, they come one after the other. in a cycle. And Krishna's pastimes are also like that. When Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill in one universe, he's just getting born in another universe. So his pastimes go on like this. And also, in one part of Vrindavan, there is the forest of six seasons. So you can have any season you like. So sometimes you, in one season, you can experience the happiness of another season also. It's all happiness. It's not distress. There's no distress in Vrindavan. So the next name, Sudarshana. Sudarshana. Very well-known name. Some names are not so well known. Ritu, the word, is well known, but it's not very well known to be a name of Vishnu, and we don't find people being given that name. Do you ever heard of anyone with the name Ritu? No. But Sudarshan, you probably all know or have heard of someone called Sudarshan. Is it? It's quite a common name. Not very common, not like Mahesh, Ramesh, and all these kind of names. Suresh. Suresh is also common here, but Mahesh is also common in Tamil Nadu. Yeah. Yeah, all these names, all of India, these names are very common. But Ritu, that's not very... Sudarshan is quite common, but not as common as... Is. Hmm? Which name? Ritu, I thought it might be, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Another meaning of the word Ritu is the woman's season, monthly. So I don't know how that fits with Krishna, but everything somehow fits with Krishna. Well, that's another name just coming up also. Ugra. Horrible. That's one name of Krishna. Although I guess we're not supposed to say things like any suggestion that anything female could be horrible could be enough to get you put in prison these days. So you have to be careful. So Sudarshana, of course we generally think of Sudarshana as being the weapon of the Lord. Yesterday that question came up. Ayudhanam aham vajram. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, among weapons I am the thunderbolt. Well, why not the Sudarshan? That question came up. Good question. Because Sudarshan is the weapon of Vishnu and Vajra is the weapon of Indra. Anyway, that was discussed yesterday. But, well, Sudarshan is also a name for Krishna. Su means very nice, and Darshan means seeing, so it's very nice to see Krishna. And Krishna also sees very nicely. There's a common name, Priyadarshan or Priyadarshani is more common among girls, although there can be Priyadarshan among men also. One meaning of which is he sees everyone as being dear. It's very pleasing to see him, and he is pleased to see. He's pleased in everything, so he's seeing. Is very he's happy with everything he does. His what is that? Srishtam madhuram, drishtam madhuram. His creation is very sweet, and his seeing is also very sweet. So he has a very beautiful appearance. This is one of the major factors in Vaishnavism. There's the parallel in Vedic culture is the Shaivism. But I haven't studied this, but I don't think they have appreciation of the form of Shiva. How can they? In the same way as appreciation of the form of Krishna, because Shiva's form seems almost designed to be unpalatable with ashes from the crematorium and skulls and snakes. Well, I guess some people like that. People in Tamaguna, they actually like that. So, but the Vaishnavas, they like to see the beautiful form of Krishna. And this, that his form is very beautiful, is described in various ways. There are various names here in Vishnu Sahasranam, which mean that his name, his form is very beautiful. There are innumerable songs and poems by devotees throughout the ages, composed in appreciation of Krishna's beautiful forms. Within Srimad Bhagavatam, we also, there are many appreciation. I just read this. This is the most famous verse of appreciation of Krishna's form by Shukadev Goswami. Barha piram natavaravapu karnio karni karam vibhrad vasa kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randran virnur adhara sudhaya purayan gopa vrindai vrindaranyam svapada ramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. The gopis, Shukadev Goswami is repeating the gopis, saying how he has decorated with a peacock feather. He looks like, his form looks like the best of dancers or actors, and his ears are decorated. His clothing golden, and his he has the Vaijayanti, long forest flower garland. He sounds the flute. From the nectar, the nectar of the flute sound fills the ears of the cowherd boys going with him as he enters the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with his lotus feet. That's a rough translation. Beautifying it with lotus feet and with the glorious sound of the song of his flute. This is from the Venu Gita, and there are so many descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna's transcendental form. Shiva himself gives a long description. Kapila Dev gives a beautiful description. Kunti Rani, she gives this Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Nama Pankaja Malini Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankaja Angraye. She offers obeisance to him who has a lotus navel, lotus garland, lotus eyes, lotus feet. While commenting on a previous name, I can't remember which one, I also read from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his one song which he has composed in glorification of Krishna's beautiful form, which I'll read it again now, as it's a very beautiful song. Janama shafal ta Krishna darashana ja bhagye hoyache ekba bikoshiya hrinayan kari Krishna darashan chare jeev chitte bika. It becomes very fortunate, if someone has the fortune even once to have the darshan of Krishna, to see the beautiful form of Krishna even once, then his human birth is successful simply by that. The eye of the heart becomes opened wide on seeing Krishna, and it causes the conditioned soul to give up all the delusions of the mind, because changes the fluctuations of the mind. He is very expert. You see him, the one who is very expert in playing in Vrindavan, decorated with a forest garland. I should read the Bengali first. Vrindavana keli chatur bonamali Tribhanga bhangim rup bhangshi dhari aparup rasamoy nidhi guna shali. His form is bent in three places. He holds his flute and plays it also with an unprecedented, unrivaled form. He is the ocean which is full of rasa, and he is full of all transcendental qualities. Borna Navajaladhar, Shire Shiki Pichaba, Alaka tilaka shobha pai, paridhana pitobash, bodane madhura hash, hinarupa jagata matai. His bodily color is like that of a new cloud. On his head is the best or very excellent peacock feather, and on his forehead beautifies his already very beautiful forehead. He wears yellow clothes. On his face is beautified by a very sweet smile. Such a form maddens the whole world. Indra nila jini Krishna rupakani Hariya kadamba mule Mana uchatan na chale charan shangsha gelam bhule. Indra nila is the name of a jewel. Sapphire. So Krishna's form is, if we say there's one sapphire, then Krishna's form is like, sapphire is a deep bluish jewel. So Krishna is a deep bluish also. But if you say the sapphire is very beautiful, then Krishna's form is like a whole mine of sapphires. Seeing him at the base of a kadamba tree, then the whole mind, the mind becomes so restless in transcendental love. The mind becomes restless, but the feet become stunned. He can't move anywhere, and he completely forgets everything about material existence. Shaki he shudhamoy she rupa madhuri. Dekile nayan hoya chaitan chare premamoy bari. Oh, my dear friend, Shaki means girlfriend. That means Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking as a gopi to another gopi. That form of beauty is simply full of nectar. When the eyes see that, then we become unconscious. And just like a fountain waterfall is full of water, you know, spraying it all the time. So in the same way, one becomes full of prem, splashing prem. Kiba chura shire, kiba bongshi kore, kiba she tribhanga tam, charana kamale amaya uchale, tahate nupura dam. Oh, what a decoration on his head, a crown on his head. What a flute in his hand. What an excellent threefold bending form. His lotus feet, the ankle bells on his lotus feet, they make a sound just like nectar. Shada asha kari bhringa rupa dhari charana kamaleshtan anayashe pai krishna guna gai arna bhajibo an. He says that I always desire to be just like a bee at the lotus feet. The bee comes to the lotus, so his lotus feet, I shall be like that. Very easily I'll get it by glorifying the qualities of Krishna and not worshipping anyone or anything else. So that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's one meditation on the form of Krishna. So Sudarshan, Su means good. So seeing him is auspicious. Seeing him gives happiness. Seeing him gives the people, they try for moksha. They think that's so they can get that by seeing him. They can get material enjoyment, whatever they think is auspicious. Daksha had the darshan of the Lord, And he prayed for material auspiciousness, and he got it. So he awards auspiciousness to anyone who sees him. Therefore, the temples are made and people come. Not everyone who comes to see him is a pure devotee, but they have the faith that by seeing him, or actually as Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur specially explained, we should go to present ourselves to be seen by him. His eyes resemble the lotus petals. That's another meaning can be had. Another, sudarshan. Su also means easy. Just as in sulab, something very easily obtained. Tasyaham sulaba partha, Krishna says. I'm very easily attained. Ananya cheta satatam. Is it that verse? Ananya cheta satatam. Yomam shnati nitya shaha. Tasyaham sulaba partha. Nitya yoktasa yoginaha. For one who is always engaged, the yogis who are always engaged in worshipping me with their mind always fixed on me without deviation, I'm very easy to obtain. And there's also durlab, vedeshu durlabam. So very easily obtained, very difficultly obtained. So very easy to see. Krishna is also durdarshan, very difficult to see by the non-devotees, but very easy to be seen by the devotees. In fact, they can't and don't see anything else. Even someone who is ignorant of his qualities and greatness, just by seeing him they'll be attracted. If they're pious. Someone who's impious doesn't like to see Krishna. But someone who has some piety in their heart, if they see Krishna, they'll be attracted. And therefore it's said that devotees like Kubja, whose name is given in Bhagavatam as Trivakra, hunchback, her feelings for Krishna were not exactly pure, but she was very attracted to him. And Srila Prabhupada, he always emphasized we should decorate the deities very beautifully so that people will be attracted when they come. Actually, Krishna is the source of all beauty, but we don't appreciate that always. So if the deity is very beautifully attracted, then people will appreciate that. And I've seen that in the West sometimes. People come to the temple for the first time. They've never imagined there could be anything so beautiful. Some people can't see them at all. I had an experience, this was must have been the late 1970s, in the temple near London, Radha Gokulananda. The deities are very beautiful, of course, and decoration is very beautiful. And the temple itself is, or the temple room is very beautiful. So I remember bringing one man, he was an electrician come to do some work. And he looked and said, oh, what a beautiful room. He praised everything in the room except the deities. He didn't see them. I had to point them out. He didn't see them at all. Amazing. There was one devotee who's become very famous for other very unfortunate reasons. He was murdered, actually. Sulochan. It means he has got beautiful eyes, one of the names. In the 1970s, he used to decorate the Radha Gokulananda so beautifully, which I don't think anyone, even up to the present day, has done. Every Sunday, the deities would open at about 10 o'clock, because right after Mangalati, the decoration was going on. And they made a whole forest scene, and you can still see photos. I think they're still published because it's nabhuta nabhavishyati. It's never seen previously, or even there are imitation or trying to do that. But he had some special talent for doing that, so he created the scene of Vrindavan, and it was just gorgeous, just completely gorgeous. So we, if we're fortunate enough, we'll come to see that Krishna is the source of all beauty. But in the meantime, we may dress the deities. And the devotees in Vrindavan, they also do that. In the spiritual world, they also decorate and dress Krishna. The fortunate living beings who are the jewels, his shoes. Balaram becomes his shoes. So we should try to decorate the deities and serve them in the most meticulous and loving manner, so that people will get some idea what it means to what is actual religion, what it means to worship God. It doesn't mean you go to church once a week and pray for some bread. It doesn't mean that you pray, oh God, please defeat our enemies, and the enemies are also praying, please defeat our enemies. But what it means, what is real God consciousness, to be full-time engaged, always, from early in the morning, waking up the Lord, cooking for... Sometimes devotees, because we have to offer milk sweets to the Lord early in the morning, so some devotees like to rise very early and make them so they're just freshly made, or others would make them at night and then keep them for the morning. That's the usual thing. But some devotees used to get up very early, at 1:30 in the morning, and cook them so they're just freshly made for the Lord for his offering at 4 o'clock in the morning. And cooking, cleaning, decorating, soliciting donations for this, and then everyone becomes conscious of Krishna and how we should serve him, singing for him. Ideally, in all the temples, there should be all the time some singing going on in the Vallabh Sampradaya, that's the ideal, and it goes on in some place. There are different songs throughout the day going on for the Lord, and according to the season also, there'll be different songs sung for him. So in this way, just completely making Krishna the center and serving him in all the best possible ways. And people would say, well, this is, at least, apart from our own practice of Krishna consciousness, then let people come and see and experience what it means to serve the Lord. And that goes on in temples up to the present day. There's a daily cycle that they rise early in the morning, and then different items are offered at different times, and different festivals are honored. So, and at a certain time the temple will close, and it's a whole routine. And some people, they spend their whole lives just in that routine. They're born, of course they'll be born somewhere not exactly in the close to the temple, but at a young age they'll be brought, and they may spend their whole life and they never go outside at all. From an early age they're engaged in, they see the deity of the Lord, and they study Shastra, and then they spend their whole life simply worshipping the Lord. And their life is completely synchronized with the routine. They rise up early in the morning so that they can be there when the Lord is well, unless they're personally waking him. Or they have some service early in the morning, and then after the Lord is fed, they will eat only at midday. The Brahmin, they're not supposed to eat until the midday. The Lord is all, they have all services to do up till midday. Then the Lord, often the Lord is, his midday meal is what we would call 11 o'clock, something like that. Then the temple is closed. Then they take some prasadam, and then maybe take a little rest. Then again, they bathe and again serve. And then at night, the temple is closed. Then again, they can eat twice a day. And so, and then they, their whole life is synchronized with the service of the Lord. So that's the spiritual world here in the material world. And there's also, of course, the personality, Sudarshan, who is a great devotee, the Lord's favorite weapon, always ready to carry out the behest of the Lord. Which alva is Sudarshan? Anyone know? All these, all the alvas, they're all various weapons and paraphernalia of the Lord. Okay, I won't try to say it. There are Sanskrit names also. If you tell me the Sanskrit name, they all have Sanskrit names and Tamil names. You all know the Tamil names. I don't know. I won't even attempt to pronounce that. So there's a very great culture here in this area, that Sri Ramanujacharya has blessed this area by revealing the pastimes of the Lord to the people of this area, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, and the sweetness of worship of Vishnu, which Sri Ramanuja Acharya has revealed, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has increased or concentrated the ocean of sweetness. So you can take advantage of this great devotional culture and appreciate Sudarshan, the beautiful form of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Yeah, anything you'd like to say? Why are you not able to see Krishna in your imagination for a long time? You'll never be Krishna, you won't see him in your imagination because he's not an imaginary object. Krishna is reality, not imagination. Why don't we see Krishna? Well, as long as we like to see other things, then we won't see Krishna. As long as we're attracted to other things, then why should Krishna reveal himself to us? We can see Krishna. We can begin to see Krishna as he directs us in Bhagavad Gita. Rasoham apsu kaṅtaya. We can perceive Krishna as the taste in water. Prabhashmi shashi surya yoho. We can perceive him as the light of the sun and the moon. Now the sun, I said, is quite pleasant. Now it's become... Actually, we should say he. He is shining. Or we're feeling his heat quite warmly. Pranava sarva vedeshu. The sound of the pranav onka in all the Vedas. Shabda ke, any sound in the ether. Purushang nirshu. He's the ability, if anyone has ability, that is representation of Krishna. So we can begin to see Krishna in this way. Actually, I discussed this just in discussing the name Adhokshaja to some extent. How we have to have purified senses, then we can perceive Krishna. Actually, we are perceiving Krishna all the time because there is nothing but Krishna. But we don't experience that we're perceiving Krishna. It's because we think that there anything is separate from Krishna, then we don't appreciate that Krishna is present everywhere and he's the ultimate principle of everything. Otherwise, a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere in everything. Sthavara jangama deke. Na deke tar murti sarvatra hoy tar ishta deva shvurti. A pure devotee, he sees everything moving and non-moving, but he doesn't exactly see them. He sees everywhere manifest his worshipable Lord. And we have to come to that stage. See through the ear. Shutekshita pata. This is recommended in Bhagavatam. The path of seeing by hearing. First we will hear the darshan, the philosophical understanding about the Lord. Then we shall see with the eyes. Better we try to act in a way that Krishna will be happy to see us. Rather than demanding, show me Krishna. Yeah. Is there any reason why Krishna has Sudarshan Chakra as his main weapon? Well, when you meet him, you can ask him. Same thing. Yesterday we were discussing, why does Krishna have cows? More people in this world seem to like dogs than cows. Well, Krishna does have some dogs also, but they're only mentioned once. And then, because Krishna likes cows. He's an individual living being. What do you like to eat? What's your favorite food? Not idli and dosa, probably. Yeah. Is it? What is it? Gulab Jamun. Okay, why? You like it. Is there any reason? It's just you. You're an individual. So Krishna, he likes his Sudarshan Chakra. He's an individual. He has his own likes and dislikes. He's not some machine that has to be neutral to everyone and alter himself according to what everyone... Well, I think God should be like this. And God, oh, okay, I just have to adjust myself because... some Sunil Chaudhary says, I think God should be... I have to adjust myself. He is as he is. In the Bible, so we're told, in the Old Testament, there's... Someone asked God, who is he? And he said, I am who I am. Which is rather cryptic, or not very easy to understand, but he is who he is. He's like that. Why so like that? You can, when you meet him, you can ask him. And he'll tell you the glories. If you're so lucky, he'll tell you the glories of Sudarshan Chakra. But if you ask in a challenging way, he might give you a demonstration. Okay, no Sudarshan chakras cutting off people's heads just here, right now. Instead, we'll distribute some prasadam.